tuned in was recorded earlier for broadcast at this time.
Welcome to Tuned In with Mike Johnson, a public service of Mount Wilson FM Broadcasters and Global Jazz Incorporated. Now, here's Mike.
Thank you, Al Verde, and good morning, everybody. Welcome to Tuned In from Mount Wilson FM Broadcasters and Global Jazz Incorporated. Health is our focus this morning here on Tuned In. A little bit later, we will be chatting with Dr. Mark Kerner of Cal West Head and Neck Surgical Institute. And welcome back to Tuned In from Mount Wilson FM Broadcasters and Global Jazz Incorporated. We are spotlighting health this morning, and of course, the COVID-19 that is so prevalent everywhere in the world, and that can lead to some confusing ideas and thoughts. And to help clear the air a little bit this morning about one particular section of that is Dr. Mark Kerner. He's with Cal West Head and Neck Surgical Institute. He's based in Northridge, and we're going to talk about the differences right now between sinusitis and COVID-19 symptoms. And Doctor, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us. You know, and I've heard this from a few people who have had what they consider to be, quote, the common cold. And, that of course, because of the heightened sensitivities to COVID-19, people sometimes think, well, maybe I have COVID-19. What's the big difference between having a normal sinus problem versus having COVID-19?
Sure. Very good question. So the coronavirus, the novel coronavirus that's causing the COVID-19 disease, is actually a cousin to the coronaviruses that cause the common cold. So mm-hmm. there is some overlap with the symptoms, and some of those symptoms can also be seen in sinus disease as well. So classically, we've been talking about the COVID or coronavirus infections as causing fevers, cough, and sometimes shortness of breath. But we now know there's a lot of people that have had it only with some minimal symptoms, including loss of smell and loss of taste. And that can be seen in sinus problems as well. So typically with sinus problems, we'll have congestion, postnasal drip, a runny nose, maybe some facial pain or pressure, symptoms that are not typically associated with the coronavirus infections.
You know, and when the concern that, of course, has become so heightened because of COVID-19, people, of course, want to make sure they're doing the right thing. I think fundamentally where you begin with is if you're not sure, you have to get yourself checked out, don't you?
Right. And now we've got pretty widespread testing available to everyone. So if you really thought you had those symptoms, and again, those symptoms would be primarily a cough or a low-grade fever. Now, only about 50% of the people with COVID have really had fevers, but obviously fever is one of the symptoms and one of the traditional symptoms, or an acute loss of smell or taste that's not associated with anything else, then I would suggest somebody get tested. Now, if you're just having a typical seasonal runny nose, some congestion, some itchy eyes, you don't necessarily need to be tested for COVID because it's still going to be highly unlikely that you had it.
Making sure that you know your body, of course, is paramount with any illness, of course. When you see patients that come in to see you and have concerns, do they seem to have more of a mindset that I have to have COVID-19 because of all the press that's being generated about it?
Well, there's clearly a number of people out there that we're seeing and on a regular basis that are concerned mm-hmm. and think they've had it. Either they had a pretty severe upper respiratory infection or a flu-like illness this year, and we're pretty sure they had it. And we've been antibody testing, and we're also nasopharyngeal testing patients too. And we're actually finding a relatively low rate of people with antibodies. So, and some of those that we've tested that have been positive have actually been completely asymptomatic. So they never even knew that they had an illness or, that would be suggestive of this. So, but most people who have allergies have had them for a number of years, and they do know the symptoms. And so, at least in our patient population, you know, they know when it comes on, they know it's the typical seasonal, you know, allergy type symptoms, which is the congestion, runny nose, postnasal drip, itchy eye kind of symptoms. And, whether they're a little bit better or a little bit worse, that's something that we're certainly seeing a lot of right now.
It's Dr. Mark Kerner of Cal West Head and Neck Surgical Institute. He's based in Northridge. This is Tuned In from Mount Wilson FM Broadcasters and Global Jazz Incorporated, and we are discussing this morning health-related issues, and specifically here with Dr. Kerner, the comparisons between COVID-19 and sinusitis. Doctor, just to get away from COVID for a moment here, sinusitis has been in such a thing with so many people for so long. Have you seen the whole sinus issues that have been in the world getting worse as time goes on, or are they sort of plateaued?
Well, I think, you know, we are seeing sort of a slowly rising incidence of sinus infections, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of that's environmental. So whether it's chemical irritation, allergies that lead to prolonged recurrent sinus infections, anatomic issues. So there's a whole myriad of reasons to have sinus infections, but we think a lot of the fact that we're seeing sort of a rising incidence is related to environmental issues. So people are allergic, they either have chemical sensitivities. You know, we used to see a lot of that when there was a lot of smog in the air. That's actually gotten a little bit better.
Right.
You know, but we still have, you know, those kind of irritants. And those things, what they lead to is they lead to swelling, and then they lead to blockage of the small passages that our sinuses drain through that get into our nose. So it doesn't take much swelling and much irritation to cause blockage in any of those sinuses. And when you get the blockage, that's when you end up with the infections. And then the subsequent symptoms, which is that facial pain and pressure, congestion, post-nasal drip, you know, runny nose, you blow your nose, and you've got purulent drainage. So that's the typical pattern of a sinus infection. So we use antibiotics to help clear that infection. We're big, big fans of nasal irrigation and nasal flushing because that then helps our sinuses, the sinus mucosal layers, clear themselves and helps clear those small sinus openings. And then we use things like nasal steroid sprays, which are now over-the-counter, like Flonase, fluticasone, which also cause a reduction in that swelling, which helps those sinuses drain.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, there was a thing called a neti pot, which would be used by generally older members of my family. Is that still relevant today, or is that sort of yesterday's technology?
No, absolutely. I mean, it's still a valid way to irrigate your nose.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to turn your head and then sort of allow that to come in, you know, sort of flush it in one side, let it go out the other. I like to have our patients use the bulbs or the bottle sort of irrigators. I think they're a little bit easier, a little less messy. There's now some other commercial devices on the market, which mm-hmm. I have no financial interest in, but like the Navage, a little bit more expensive device that actually has a suction attached to it, so it, as it's flushing, it also suctions that out, so it makes it a little bit more comfortable. So you can either use one of those devices. Some people use a water pick on some gentle settings, and there's some nasal irrigator tips for that as well. So there's all kinds of devices out there. The neti pot is just one of those original, old-fashioned devices,
right.
And it still works quite well.
Dr. Mark Kerner is my guest. He's with Cal West Head and Neck Institute in Northridge. This is Tuned In from Mount Wilson FM Broadcasters and Global Jazz Incorporated. We are talking about your health this morning here on Tuned In. Dr. Kerner, you know, as we talk about the COVID-19 and the prevalence that it has, of course, come into our society here in 2020, when you think about all the patients that you've seen come through here in the last few months since everything sort of took control of the world, for lack of a better term,
right.
are you surprised at the number, or is the number sort of kind of in your mind kind of in keeping with what you would expect from a pandemic?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm not that surprised. I mean, look, we have a lot of elderly people in society, a lot mm-hmm. of people with a lot of underlying medical problems, and they're going to be susceptible to all kinds of infectious diseases. And having a novel viral infection that, you know, our immune systems are not used to, it's certainly going to affect those that are much more at risk, and which is exactly what we're seeing. Now, we're also seeing a trend now of having younger people test positive. So at the beginning of this pandemic, you know, the average ages were up in the high 60s. It's now coming down. The last study I just read from the CDC and the health department is that now our average ages now are down in the late 30s.
Mm.
So we're seeing more people, but they're not as sick. So I don't think the virus is mutating into a less virulent form. I just think that the people that are getting it are not getting as sick. They're not getting that second stage of the disease, which is really what we're seeing with this viral infection, which is that first prodrome phase where they have the sort of fevers, low-grade fever, the cough, and the flu-like symptoms, which then progress to the pulmonary and pneumonia-type symptoms, where then it becomes a full-blown inflammatory process, which is why that part of the disease is actually improving with the use of steroids, which was just a study was just released that you may have heard about
right.
A day or two, where dexamethasone, which is a very commonly used steroid drug for inflammation, is actually helping those people. And we've been using that regularly since we've been seeing these patients on an outpatient basis as well. Though that study was done on the hospitalized patients, but we've been instituting that steroid treatment much earlier in the phase and have had very good results, you know, in treating the mild patients as well.
From a medical point of view, and this might be a little bit off the page, but I'm going to ask you anyway. When things like this happen, and of course there's no playbook for what this is, I mean, there's not really a great lesson yeah. that we can compare it to. Is medicine sort of caught playing catch-up real quick, or is there work that just goes into things immediately to try to figure out the why right away? How does that work?
Well, I think, look, you know, really, I'm going to actually disagree with you just a little bit on
okay.
that, and
okay.
that is that this isn't that novel.
Okay.
You know, we know what respiratory viral infections are like, and we've had other outbreaks, just not in this country. We've had the SARS outbreaks, the MERS outbreaks, which are all sort of corona. There are coronavirus related pneumonias and infections. It's just that this one just became a pandemic.
Right.
But we've had those, and those were contained, and we know how those are treated. You know, we know how those are spread. We know how those are treated. And actually, the original SARS that was present in the Asian countries was actually a much more virulent virus in terms of the mortality than this one. So the playbook really isn't that different. It's a respiratory virus. We had a bunch of sort of misinformation at the beginning of this outbreak that masks are not effective, which we felt was totally untrue because, you know, most of this this viral load is spread in the droplets, and the droplets are readily stopped by using a mask. So the viral particles may be small and may act, and they are small, we know they are, and they would actually transgress through most masks other than maybe the N95 mask, but For the most part, you need a very high viral load, and these studies are now coming out, especially from Europe and from southern China, or from the Chinese areas, where they're looking at what does it take to really get infected. And what it seems to be is something that we see with other respiratory viruses. You need a pretty high inoculation load of the virus, and you need a prolonged period of contact. So we think 15 to 30 minutes of a very, very high viral load, which is what's causing the disease. And so that's why you see these massive outbreaks in places like nursing homes, where, one, you have a very highly susceptible population, and, number two, a very high viral load and a viral inoculation in a very small, tight space. So when you put those factors together, that's like that's all the elements there for a bad forest fire. So same thing with New York. You've got a subway system
right.
that you've got elevators, you've got tight living quarters, you've got apartment buildings that probably have shared ventilation systems. So you've got people coughing in elevators, and those aerosols, you know, are spreading up through the elevator shaft, into the buildings, people on the floors. So, you know, when you start looking at those kind of situations, you can readily see why those are the places that are being hit the worst.
Doctor, just to bring it back to our original topic here just before we run out of time again.
Sure.
So again, if you think you have a sinus infection versus COVID-19, the big differences sure. are?
Sure. So the big differences are typically a sinus infection. You don't usually have a fever. Unless it's a very, very severe acute infection, you can. You'll have a facial pain and pressure, nasal congestion, and a runny nose, which is typically not seen in COVID at all. So that would be the determinant of that. And then you know, and you typically don't have a cough with a sinus infection as well.
Dr. Mark Kerner, thanks for being with us this morning.
You're very welcome.
It's Dr. Mark Kerner. He is of Cal West Head and Neck Surgical Institute based in Northridge. And, you know, the information the doctor had there for you is very important. And make sure, above all, if you're not sure, get yourself checked out. My name is Mike Johnson. Thanks for listening to Tuned In.